This is... It's not my weekend, but it's gonna be my year. A bandom fanfic featuring members of My Chemical Romance and the Jonas Brothers. Written by Mizu Byte and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, contains the pairing Frank Iero, Jamia Nestor, with tags for dysfunctional family, alternate universe canon, neglect, emotional baggage, and family drama. Summary. Kevin Jonas is a scene kid in New Jersey and runs into Pansy Prep at a show, the beginning to an alternate universe that never got fully realized, where Kevin becomes MCR's guitar tech. Completely AU for Jonas Brothers, but sticks pretty diligently to bandom canon. Kevin slumps against the wall as his parents inform the babysitter of last-minute details. Things like where the emergency numbers are, when they're supposed to be in bed, and what time they think they'll be back from the city. Familiar words. Kevin's heard them every week for the past 2 years. He's not jealous of Nick and all his success on Broadway, or Joe and his commercials. He's not. He just wishes his parents remembered that they had 4 sons, not 3. Nick squeezes Kevin tight around the waist, and Kevin grins, ruffling his hair and squeezing back until their mom ushers Nick out of the house and towards the car. The door closes behind his parents, and the sudden silence is startling. Lori, their usual babysitter during the week when Kevin gets a break from babysitting in order to do homework, rolls her eyes as she lifts Frankie on her hips and herds Joe in the direction of the kitchen. "Staying in or heading out?" she calls back over her shoulder. Kevin shrugs, leaning on the door jamb of the kitchen and rubbing his hand over his recently shorn hair. "Out, I think." He looks over at the clock on the microwave and nods. "Yeah, there's this..." He eyes Joe, who's not even pretending not to be listening. "Study group. It'll probably run late." Lori grins and buckles Frankie into his high chair, ignoring as he immediately starts banging on the tray. "Sure," she winks at him. "Have fun studying." Kevin grins a bit and runs up the stairs to his room. He grabs a hooded sweatshirt off his bed, giving it a cursory sniff before shrugging and tugging it on. He slips his wallet and his house key into his jeans pocket before heading back downstairs and out the door. It's still a bit early, but there's a basement show tonight, and it's easily 30 minutes away on his bike. It turns out to be 45 minutes by bike, because Kevin turns left instead of right and ends up in a really shady-looking park for a bit. Luckily, he manages to escape unscathed and get himself on track. He's 2 blocks away when he can start to hear the low thrum of a bass beat, and a grin immediately lights up his face. He pedals faster, skidding around the corner and nearly running over 2 other kids heading in the same direction. By the time he drops his bike in the yard of the house, the sound is deafening, and Kevin's amazed the neighbors haven't called the cops yet. The sweet smell of smoke wafts outside as he pushes the door open and holds it open for 2 giggling girls heading out. He bypasses the keg and bottom-shelf liquor that always managed to appear at the parties, no matter who is hosting, to grab a bottle of water from the fridge instead. He gets 1 or 2 sideways looks, but no one says anything. There are plenty of other kids around sticking to soda and water, too, for anyone to really give a damn. Kevin pushes through the crowd, nodding at people he knows by sight and exchanging hand clasps and quick hugs with people he knows better. The usual scene crowd. He stops short when someone's hand wraps around his wrist, pulling him back through the crowd. He spins in surprise, but relaxes when he recognizes Jenna. "Hey, KJ," Jenna smirks, looking up at him through her pink-streaked hair. Where were you last week? I missed you. Kevin flushes slightly and adjusts the hood of his sweatshirt. Family stuff. I had to babysit. Jenna pouts in disappointment, leaning into Kevin's space, and he backs up a step, looking for rescue. He's pretty sure he saw Jenna's boyfriend in the crowd. You're coming to the release show next week, though, right? Jenna steps closer, ignoring Kevin's wide eyes. What? Jenna rolls her eyes and waves a hand in the direction of the band. Pensy, the record release show is next week. You have to come, she insists, dropping her hand onto his shoulder. Kevin glimpses Jenna's boyfriend heading their way and quickly twists out of her grip. Sure, release show. See you there, he calls over his shoulder, pushing his way deeper into the crowd and breathing a sigh of relief when Jenna doesn't follow. He likes her well enough, but her boyfriend is about twice his size, and a senior, and Kevin likes being alive. He can feel his muscles relaxing as he laughs and greets more of his friends, pushing towards the corner where the band is set up and kids are jumping in time to the drum beat. He reaches the front just as the mosh pit opens up, and Kevin lets his body move, insinuating into the press of bodies as he loses himself in the noise and the sweat and the sound. It's hours later, though it feels like minutes, when the crowd starts to disperse and the bands start packing up their gear. Kevin helps, lugging amps out to the trailer and curling cords around his arm. The guys offered him a ride home and thanks, and Kevin accepts, shoving his bike on top of the gear and squeezing into the van where he ends up in the back seat, half sprawled across the bassist and guitar player. He rattles off his address to the drummer, who nods before lighting up a joint and passing it around. Smoke quickly fills the van, but Kevin still declines when it's passed in his direction. The guitarist raises an eyebrow, shaking the beginning of some wicked dreads back as he takes another hit and passes the joint back to the front. You straight edge? The guy asks him, and Kevin shrugs. I guess. Dreads nods. That's cool. He holds out his hand. Frank. Kevin twists awkwardly, trying not to elbow the bassist in the head as he reaches around to shake Frank's hand. KJ. Frank grins. Awesome. He opens his mouth to say more, but the drummer takes a sharp corner and pulls to a stop in front of Kevin's house. There's an awkward scramble as Kevin tries to climb over Frank without kicking him in the groin, and they both end up tumbling out of the van. Kevin tries to apologize, but Frank giggles and waves him off. They drag Kevin's bike out of the trailer, and Frank nods towards the house. You gonna be in trouble? Kevin eyes the car in the driveway, the darkened windows, and shrugs. Maybe, if they noticed I'm gone. Frank makes a sympathetic noise and turns to climb back in the van. Kevin pushes his bike up the driveway, but turns back at his name. KJ, next week at the Loop Lounge, I better see you there. Frank grins, leaning back through the window, and Kevin laughs, waving at him as the van accelerates away. He dumps his bike by the garage and lets himself in through the front door. There's no lights on in the house. No worried or angry parents waiting in the kitchen, wondering why their 14-year-old son is coming home at 2 a.m. on a school night, smelling like weed and alcohol. Kevin sighs, heading slowly up the stairs and into his bedroom. He shrugs his hoodie and jeans off, dropping them into the laundry basket, and falls into bed. School's going to suck in the morning. A week later, and there's still been no mention of Kevin's late-night activities. He sits at the kitchen table, homework half-finished in front of him, and watches his mom bustling around the kitchen. She's checking the calendar that has all of Nick and Joe's shows on it, feeding Frankie and throwing together a car-ready dinner. Kevin makes a face at Frankie, laughing when Frankie grins toothily at him, and his mom looks up in surprise, like she just realized he's been sitting there for the past 30 minutes. Oh, Kevin, can you go make sure that Nick is getting dressed? We're gonna have to leave as soon as Frankie's done eating to make his call time. But, Mom, Kevin protests, I'm trying to do my homework. His mom sighs, eyeing Kevin with irritation. 5 minutes, Kevin. Just a little help, okay? You know Nick can't be late for his shows, and we're running behind as it is. Kevin scowls, but drops his pencil and pushes up from the table. He takes the stairs two at a time, ignoring his mom's sharp, Kevin! And pushes the door to Joe and Nick's room open. He laughs, annoyance falling away, when he sees them both sprawled out on the floor, Nintendo controllers in hand. Kevin settles himself between them, watching Mario and Luigi race across the screen. Joe leans with his controller, attempting to get his go-kart to make it around a turn and falling into Kevin as Mario spins out of control and falls off the track. Nick throws his hands up in victory as Luigi speeds across the finish line and shrieks as Joe leaps over Kevin's back to attack Nick with tickles. Nick gasps with laughter, holding his hands out to Kevin in pleading. Help! He giggles. Kev, save me! Kevin pretends to ponder for a moment before joining Joe in his attack. The tickling match dissolves into wrestling before they all collapse in a heap, gasping for breath in between laughs and half-hearted shoves. Kevin! Their mom shouts from downstairs. Did you get Nick dressed? Nick makes a face, and Kevin rolls his eyes, before pushing himself up off the floor and tugging Nick to his feet. Come on, clothes. He pushes Nick gently in the direction of his closet, and Nick goes, grumbling, but quickly finding his sweats and pulling off his jeans. Kevin makes sure he's actually getting dressed, before turning and eyeing Joe. Lori? He guesses. But Joe shakes his head and points to his packed backpack sitting on his bed. Nope, Dad said I can stay at Chris's. His mom's going to take us to school in the morning. Kevin bites back a grin. It looks like his night just got a whole lot easier. Nick's dressed and ready to go within 5 minutes, just like Kevin knew he'd be. Kevin ushers them both out of the room, ignoring his mother's look of annoyance as Nick jumps down the stairs and past her, tapping Frankie on the nose as he heads towards the car. Mrs. Shedlist should be here within the next 20 minutes or so, she says, looking at her watch. Joe, be good, and make sure you tell them thank you for letting you stay over, all right? Joe nods, but their mom's already hitching Frankie up on her hip and walking out the door. Finish your homework, she calls back over her shoulder. Before the door closes and Joe and Kevin are left staring at each other. Best 2 out of 3, Joe offers, and they race toward the Nintendo. Joe's beaten Kevin a sound 3 out of 5 times, and they're going for best of 7 when the doorbell rings. Joe jumps to his feet, grabbing his backpack and racing down the stairs. Kevin follows, smiling at Mrs. Shedlist as Joe opens the door and nearly tackles Chris. She smiles back, pushing the boys toward the car. Going to enjoy having the house to yourself for a night? She teases him. Throwing any wild parties? Kevin grins and ducks his head, shoving his hands into his jeans pockets. Not really. Homework, pizza. Maybe I'll go really crazy and order pay-per-view. Mrs. Shedlist laughs, turning to follow Joe and Chris to the car. Such a rebel. Have fun. If you need anything, you know you can give us a call. Thanks. Kevin nods, waving as she walks away and climbs into the car. He watches her back out of the driveway and waves again as they drive down the street. He closes the door and heads into the kitchen, staring at his piled books and the half-finished math assignment. Then he eyes the $20 bill his mom left on the counter for pizza. 10 minutes later, Kevin's heading out the door, 20 shoved in his pocket, and dragging his bike out of the garage. There's a show in little over an hour in Passaic, and he promised to be there. KJ! Kay! Kay! Fucking goddammit, Kevin! Kevin looks up from his textbook in surprise as Frank drops into the booth across from him, pulling off his headphones. Frank scowls at him and Kevin blinks, startled. What? Frank looks like he's about to say something, thinks better of it, and shakes his head. Here. He shifts the backpack off his shoulders, reaches in, and pulls out a slightly crumpled pile of colored paper. Kevin leans over his books, trying to read the top paper upside down. Flyers? Frank nods, reaching out and stealing Kevin's soda and taking a long drink from the straw. Kevin makes a face at him, and Frank grins cheerfully. Eyeball's having their annual Christmas show. Fancy's playing. You're invited. Now help me hang up the fucking flyers. Kevin looks from the flyers to his textbook, then back again. Frank arches an eyebrow at him, and Kevin rolls his eyes, shoving his textbook inside his bag and grabbing his soda back from Frank to finish it. Fine, but I need to be home by 4. I'm supposed to babysit. Sure, got to do the family thing, I get it. My cousin is always after me to watch her kids. Kevin pauses in his packing up and digging for money to stare in disbelief at Frank. Frank scowls at Kevin for a moment, then giggles. Seriously, man, I am totally trustworthy around them. Besides, they're like this tall. Frank holds out his hand at about waist height. They're really easy to catch if they fall off a shit. Kevin bites his tongue, pretty sure that Frank's just messing with him, but not completely sure he isn't. He turns back to his stuff after one last disbelieving glance at Frank, specifically Frank's dreads that still smell faintly of weed. Frank ignores him. Scooping up the flyers, he shoves them back into his bag and hops to his feet, bouncing on his toes as Kevin drops money on the table and they exit the diner. Kevin shivers in the wind, shoving his hands into his pockets and envying Frank's gloves. His mom had promised to buy him a pair last week, but then there'd been rehearsals for Joe's Christmas concert and Nick's recording schedule, and she never made it to the store. She'd apologized multiple times, and Kevin had already forgiven her and shrugged it off. It doesn't make his fingers any warmer, though. Come on! Frank tugs on the sleeve of his jacket, down the street towards the record store. Jamia already has it worked out with the stores. We just need to take the flyers there and then stick the rest to every pole, mailbox, and street sign we can find. Frank recites with a grin. Kevin snickers a little. 2 months, and he already knows how completely gone Frank is over Jamia. He'd barely met her at the release show. She was too busy running around organizing a million and one things, and Kevin was trying to remain inconspicuous. He's not exactly 21. But then again, neither is Frank. But he's heard Frank ramble on about her. Apparently, they ran into each other in the hallway at high school and hadn't looked at another person since. Kevin's not sure how much he really believes it, but he sort of wants to. It would make high school a whole lot better than it's shaping up to be if his soulmate is just around the corner somewhere. Any other orders from your lovely lady? Kevin teases. Frank sticks his tongue out at him, and Kevin grins back. Kevin's not sure why exactly Frank's adopted him. He's 20 and in college, with a band and an amazing girlfriend, and basically a million times cooler than Kevin ever hopes to be. But he has, and Kevin's pretty grateful for it. So bring her back coffee. Frank's eyes widen, and he looks at Kevin in faint alarm. Shit, I forgot what she wants. Kevin rolls his eyes and shoves the door to the record store open, dragging Frank inside. A latte with soy? Frank blinks, pauses, then grins and gives Kevin a smacking kiss on the cheek. Rock on, KJ. He bounces past Kevin further into the store, already calling for Chris and disturbing half the patrons. Kevin flushes, mouths, "Sorry," at the most disapproving of the lot, and ducks his head as he follows Frank towards the counter. Kevin looks pleadingly at the bouncer, who simply raises an eyebrow at Kevin and refuses to budge. Kevin huffs a sigh and steps away from the queue, digging into the pocket of his parka to find his cell phone. He taps a quick message to Frank. "Can't come in. Bouncer hates me." And shoves it back into his pocket, exchanging the phone for his headphones as he heads back to his bike. It sucks, but it's not the first time he's been blocked at the door from a show. He's only 14 and barely looks it. The slightly more respectable venues tend to frown on him sneaking in for shows. He's done it a few times, and gotten caught a few times, so they're probably beginning to recognize him. Hey, KJ! Kevin turns his head toward the alley, grinning as he recognizes Frank waving at him from the stage door. Glancing back toward the bouncer, Kevin jogs down the alley to stop in front of the door. "I can't get in," he says, rolling his eyes. "Big, tall, and ugly is power tripping." Frank giggles, and Kevin recognizes that he's high and probably already half drunk. No, it's totally cool. We'll just tell him that you're with the band. You can be our tech or something." Kevin looks back toward the end of the alley, and then back at Frank skeptically. "Your tech?" Frank waves his hands in the air, narrowly missing braining Kevin upside the head. "Definitely drunk." "Sure, every band needs a tech, and you know stuff about guitars." Frank looks at Kevin in sudden realization. "Wait, shit, you do know stuff about guitars, right? I mean, we'd kind of fake it if you don't, but it would definitely help if..." Kevin can't help it. He laughs in Frank's face. "Yeah, no, I know a bit." He shrugs. He doesn't mention how he taught himself to play over the course of 3 days being homesick from school. Frank grins brightly and grabs Kevin by his jacket sleeve. "Excellent," he declares, dragging Kevin in through the stage door. "Oh, wait." Frank stops short, turning to drag Kevin back out the door and to Pensley's van. He pops the back open and waves his hand at the door. "Throw your jacket in there." He peeks in and rolls his eyes. "Just ignore the brother's way." Kevin peers around the door to see Mikey Way, and who he assumes to be his brother, sitting in the back of the van, an open case of beer between them. Mikey looks up, tilting his head back a bit and squinting at Kevin through his glasses. "I know you." Kevin stutters a bit. "Yeah, kind of." He doesn't, not really, but Kevin's been to enough eyeball shows now to be semi-recognizable to most of the interns and staff. Mikey nods, absently passing his brother another beer as he finishes one. "You're Ken?" Kevin feels his cheeks flush. He wishes Frank would jump in and say something, but Frank's just giggling to himself in apparent amusement at Kevin's discomfort while digging through the mass of cords that litter the bottom of the van. "Kevin. KJ, really." Mikey nods again, not looking the least bit sorry. "Mikey Way," he says it fast, like everyone else does. All one word, like people wouldn't know who he is if he just introduced himself as Mikey. Then he kicks his brother in the shins. "Gee." His brother looks up, face pale and looking vaguely ill. He glances toward Kevin and swallows half his can of beer. "Gerard," he mumbles, before dropping his head back into his chest. Kevin wonders if he's trying not to throw up. He's not looking so good. Kevin looks nervously back at Gerard. He hesitates. "Is he okay?" Mikey shrugs, cracking open another beer for himself, and Frank grins. "It's their first show," he explains. "They're a little, Frank glances from Gerard to Mikey, and then at the pile of empty beer cans littering the floor of the van.
Nervous?
Hambone laughs as he comes up behind them, clapping Kevin on the shoulder.
Nervous is a nice way of putting it. Hey, KJ, stop by the bouncer?
Kevin shrugs.
Frank says I can tech. Hambone snorts and shoves Frank a little. Sure, you can make sure Genius here doesn't blow up his amp.
Hey, it was one time! Frank protests, jumping to tackle Hambone, who grins and pushes him back with the ease of long practice. He nods at Mikey and Gerard.
You two planning on performing tonight, or what?
Gerard and Mikey exchange a look, and in unison throw back the rest of their drinks. Mikey stumbles as he tries to climb down from the van, landing half on Kevin, and Kevin tries not to gag while pushing him back upright. Mikey smells like a brewery, and Kevin bets that Gerard isn't much better.
Fuck.
Gerard stares at Frank.
I don't know if we can do this.
Frank rolls his eyes, shoving both Gerard and Mikey towards the stage doors.
Of course you can.
Kevin shrugs off his jacket and drops it in the back of the van before pushing the doors shut. Hambone grins at him as they head inside the club.
Teching? Really?
Kevin scowls, making Hambone laugh and drag him toward the pile of Pence's equipment.
Come on, I'll show you our stuff.
They're sorting cables and plugs, Hambone quizzing Kevin every few moments, when Frank comes back to grab them. Come on, they're about to go on. We gotta watch this. Hambone drops the cables he's holding and nods.
Fuck yeah.
Kevin follows them into the main area of the club, pulling his hood up and trying to keep his head down as he follows Hambone and Frank past the bouncer and heads towards the bar. The bartender looks disapprovingly at Kevin, but doesn't say anything as Frank drops a 10 on the counter and orders 2 beers. Handing both beers to Hambone, Frank grabs a chair from a nearby table and drags it over. He climbs up on it, ignoring Hambone's short jokes, and takes his beer back.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Frank grins down at Kevin.
You want to stand up here?
Kevin shakes his head, not really wanting to draw more attention to himself. The feedback from the amps drags their attention back to the stage, in time for Gerard to mumble incoherently into the mic, and the drumbeat to kick in. It takes a minute, but the guitars kick in, Gerard starts singing, and the crowd surges forward, mosh pit already forming. Kevin looks up at Frank, and Frank's beaming at the stage. He glances down at Kevin, and his grin widens. They're fucking good, kid. Totally fucking good. Kevin looks back at the stage, at the surging crowd, already trying to sing along, and grins. Yeah, they really are. Kevin, where'd you put the mail? Kevin looks up from the Monopoly board game to his dad standing in the doorway. He slaps at Nick's hands, trying to sneak into the bank and borrow some more cash while he tries to remember.
By the fridge?
His dad disappears from the door, and Kevin turns to scowl at Nick. His little brother looks back with wide-eyed innocence, and Kevin laughs.
Save the acting for the stage, Nicky.
He reaches over and snags the dice.
Just admit you're gonna lose.
Nick frowns and turns the puppy eyes on Joe. Joe sets his jaw and tries to avoid Nick's gaze, but Nick just moves into his line of vision, practically crawling into his lap and turning the pleading up to 11. It only takes a few moments before Joe cracks and tosses his 2 railroads at Nick.
Fine, here, just stop that!
Nick grins and bounces happily back to his place, organizing his newly acquired properties and humming to himself. Kevin rolls his eyes at the ridiculousness of his little brothers, before rolling the dice and moving the silver dog 8 spaces. He groans as he lands on B&O Railroad, and Nick claps his hands.
With three railroads, that's $100.
Nick makes grabbing motions at Kevin.
Hand it over.
Kevin sighs and glares at Joe.
I hate you.
Joe shrugs helplessly.
It's not my fault. He gave me the eyes.
Kevin scowls and tosses the $100 bill at Nick.
You both suck.
Nick laughs and leans over to rest his head on Kevin's shoulder.
But you love us, he teases.
Kevin shoves him off, grinning.
You wish,
he retorts, and laughs when Nick sticks his tongue out.
Kevin?
The dad stands in the doorway, white envelope in hand and looking grim.
Please come here.
Joe and Nick exchange worried looks as Kevin frowns and pushes himself to his feet.
Okay.
He follows his dad out into the hallway, pulling on the sleeve of his hoodie and shifting nervously from foot to foot. His dad taps the envelope against the palm of his hand, slight frown on his face.
It's from your school. It says you've been late to school and are missing assignments.
Kevin panics briefly. He's been going out sometimes at night to help tech for Pensy, or just to try and sneak into shows. The late nights had resulted in a bit of tardiness, but he hadn't thought it had been that many.
No, I don't... It was only twice. I dropped the chain on my bike and had to fix it.
He bites his lip, looking up at his dad and pushing down the small bit of guilt that wells up at the white lie.
He really did drop the chain on his bike, but on the way to a Midtown show. Not school.
His dad looks relieved.
And the assignments?
Kevin thinks about the half-finished assignments sitting at the bottom of his book bag, untouched since they'd been due 2 weeks before. I definitely handed everything in. I'll ask my teachers tomorrow if I missed anything I didn't know about.
Sounds good,
his dad responds, nodding. He hands Kevin the envelope.
Take this in so the teachers know what to discuss.
Kevin takes the envelope from his dad, shoving it into the back pocket of his jeans and pushing down his sudden disappointment.
That was it? Missing school, missing work, merited a 30-second lecture? Well, Kevin guesses he probably doesn't have to worry about going in late anymore. Maybe he'll manage to actually catch a full 8 hours after the shows.
The worry leaves his dad's face, and he looks away from Kevin through the door to where Nick and Joe have gotten bored trying to eavesdrop and are absorbed in arguing over hotels.
Nick, don't forget to rest your voice, his dad warns. Rehearsals start tomorrow.
Nick rolls his eyes, but looks up and grins at their dad.
I know.
The dad grins back for a moment, before turning back to Kevin.
Your mother and I are going out to a movie and dinner. Frankie's down for a nap. Make sure he's up in an hour, or he'll never sleep tonight. Feed the boys dinner around 7, and make sure Nick is in bed by 9. He's got to be ready for a big day tomorrow. Right, kiddo?
He raises his voice so Nick can hear him.
Yes, Dad,
Nick sighs, already distracted by the Monopoly game again. The dad shakes his head fondly and claps Kevin on the shoulder, hard enough that Kevin stumbles slightly.
His dad doesn't notice, looking back through the doorway at Nick and Joe. Great. Have a good night, boys.
Night, Dad, Joe and Nick respond. Kevin watches their dad walk down the stairs and sighs. He rubs his thumb over the ring on his hand, a nervous habit he's picked up since his dad had given it to him at Christmas.
Night, Dad.
Nick and Joe frown as Kevin drops back on the floor by the board, crossing his legs under him.
Kev?
Nick asks, sounding worried.
Kevin forces a smile he knows looks fake at Nick. It's okay, Nicky.
He shrugs.
Just school stuff.
Joe makes a face while rolling the dice.
You should be homeschooled like us. Then we'd see you more. Plus, it's better. Mom totally lets us sleep in.
Kevin's smile comes easier.
More? You'd get sick of me if you saw me more.
Nick frowns.
Nuh-uh.
Joe nods in agreement.
Never.
Kevin grins, but rolls his eyes, reaching out to ruffle Nick's hair.
Yeah, yeah, you say that now,
he teases, and Nick ducks away, grinning. Kevin shifts so he's stretched out on the floor, propped up on his elbows.
All right, whose turn is it?
Mine,
Joe declares, grabbing the dice and rolling a 7. He raises his arms in victory as he lands on free parking and dives to collect the pile of money from the center of the board.
Cheater,
Kevin laughs, reaching for another $500 bill to drop in the center,
and freezes, looking at his properties. Hey, who stole my boardwalk? Nick and Joe both point at each other. He did it!
Kevin leans his head against the back of the couch and stares at the ceiling, while still trying to keep one eye on Joe. It's a school night, so he's technically off babysitting duty. But Frankie's being a pain, and Lori's got her hands full trying to get him to bed. Kevin's been watching Joe for the past 20 minutes, but all Joe's doing is sitting on the floor scowling at his homework. Kevin's pretty sure that Joe hasn't turned a page in the entire 20 minutes, but he's not really concerned. It's been a week and a day since My Chem disappeared off to upstate New York to record their album, taking Frank with them, and Kevin is bored. He'd spent the weekend bouncing between house parties, but it wasn't quite the same after spending months being with the band. And sure, he knows most of the guys at iBell now, at least some of the techs and guys from the bands, but without Frank around, he feels a bit awkward just calling them up. He's still not sure that they don't just think of him as that kid that follows Frank around. Well, maybe not Hambone or Sean. Or even Jeff, actually. But Hambone and Sean haven't been around since Pensy crashed and burned. And Jeff's upstate with My Chem. Kevin sighs. He tilts his head to study Joe, who has apparently given up on his homework to edge towards the TV. Like, Kevin isn't sitting right there. And contemplates finishing the pile of homework that's sitting upstairs on his desk.
Joe,
Kevin starts, ignoring the pleading glance Joe immediately sends him, but the vibration of his cell phone cuts him off. Kevin digs it out of his pocket, frowning at the display. It's a local number, but he doesn't recognize it. He thumbs it on.
Hello? KJ?
A vaguely familiar voice asks. At least, that's what Kevin thinks it says. There's a lot of background noise.
Yeah? Dude, where are you? We're trying to set up and you're not here, which makes it really fucking difficult to get the guitar set up where, you know, the guitar tech is missing.
Kevin pulls the phone away from his ear, blinks at it in confusion, and then puts it back to his ear.
Wait, what?
There's a pause on the other end of the line.
It's Justin. From Eyeball? You were supposed to be at the Loop Lounge like 20 minutes ago. Jamia was supposed to tell you before she left.
Kevin shakes his head, still slightly confused, but feeling a little bit of the tension from his shoulders melt away as a grin starts stretching across his face.
No, man, she didn't say anything. But, I could be there in 30 minutes or so.
Justin snorts.
Figures. I'll have to bitch her out. He sounds gleeful at the prospect.
And Kevin arches an eyebrow.
It's cool, though. Wait, 30 minutes? Where the fuck do you live?
Wyckoff, but I don't have a car. I'll have to ride my bike. Kevin purposefully leaves off the fact that he doesn't have a license, isn't even old enough to start thinking about having a license.
No car. Oh, that's right, you're like 12!
Justin laughs, and Kevin scowls at his phone.
No, it's okay. What's your address? I'll send Dan to go get you.
Kevin rattles off his address before he can think twice about it, ends the call, and bounces to his feet. He eyes Joe, but Joe's taken advantage of Kevin being distracted by his phone call and is completely immersed in some anime show on the television. Kevin nudges him with his foot.
Hey, you! Homework!
Joe rolls over onto his side to better look up at Kevin and scowl.
I don't want to.
You want Mom to yell at you when it's not done?
Kevin asks. But Joe's scowl deepens, and he turns back to the TV with a determined pout. Kevin opens his mouth to push further, before deciding against it and shrugging.
Yeah, okay. Your funeral.
He senses, more than sees, Joe roll his eyes, and shakes his head before turning and heading up the stairs. He bumps into Lori leaving Frankie's room, and looking exhausted. Kevin can hear muffled whimpering coming from the bedroom behind her.
You okay?
Lori forces a smile. Yeah, he's okay. Exhausted and cranky, but okay. He'll probably be out in about 10 minutes, though he's certainly not happy about it. Kevin nods, shifting from foot to foot impatiently, bouncing slightly on his toes.
Good. Joe's refusing to do his homework, but it's probably best to just...
He waves his hand.
Just let him be. He's in a mood.
Lori sighs.
Must be something in the water.
She raises an eyebrow at Kevin's impatient fidgeting.
Hot date?
Kevin flushes and forces himself to still. No, nothing like that. Just, I have a thing I forgot about. My ride will be here in 10 minutes. She nods.
Okay. Is this a late night thing, or will you be back before your parents?
Kevin does the math in his head and winces. Set up, which is apparently running late. The show, breakdown, packing up the van or trailer.
A late night thing? You don't have to cover for me, though.
He rushes.
I know I ask you a lot, but...
Lori laughs and reaches out to ruffle his hair. What little he has of it.
He keeps meaning to cut it again, and then forgets. Kid, you're what, 15? 14? Go out and have fun. If your parents ask, you're at a friend's house. If they don't, she shrugs. Then no harm done, right?
Kevin nods and gives her a half smile, tucking his chin a little. She laughs again as the doorbell rings.
Oh, you're going to be a heartbreaker. Now go.
She pushes him back toward the stairs. Get out of here. He grins, ducking into his room to grab a hoodie before dashing down the stairs. Dan's leaning on the doorbell, and Kevin flings the door open with a scowl.
Seriously, dude, my little brother just fell asleep.
Dan's not that much older than Kevin, maybe 18, and still has the good grace to look sheepish.
Sorry, KJ, I didn't know you had siblings.
He turns to head back down the walk, and Kevin follows, making sure the door is locked behind him.
You never talk about your home life.
Kevin winces, shoving his hands into the pockets of his hoodie, and glad that Dan is in front of him and can't see the flush that rises in his cheeks.
Yeah, well,
he mutters, walking around the pickup and hoisting himself into the passenger seat.
There's not a lot to say.
Dan puts the truck in reverse and pulls out of the driveway before shifting quickly into drive and peeling away from Kevin's house. He glances at Kevin from the corner of his eye as he hits the turn signal and nearly runs a red light, making a left turn.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, like, siblings, man.
Kevin thinks of his little brothers and shakes his head, grinning a little.
Yeah, brothers, 3 of them.
Dan grins back.
Yeah? Spill, dude, little brothers are awesome.
Kevin laughs, relaxing back against the seat and propping his feet up against the dashboard.
Yeah, they are.
It's 15 minutes to the club, and Kevin spends the entire time telling Dan all about Joe, Nick, and Frankie, and just how awesome little brothers can be.
Hey, Frank, where the hell did you put your input cables?
Kevin stops short, finally noticing that Frank's mid-conversation.
Oh, sorry, I just...
Kevin flushes. Frank waves him off with a grin as the other guy eyes Kevin with consideration.
No problem, KJ. You know Alex, right?
No?
Kevin hazards a guess. The guy looks a little familiar, but Kevin's pretty sure he's never met him before.
Alex Saavedra.
The guy holds out his hand to Kevin with a small smirk. He shakes it, recognition dawning. He's one of the guys Kevin spends a lot of time ducking away from at shows, so as not to get kicked out.
You own Eyeball.
Alex nods, sticking his hand in his pocket and grinning at Frank.
Yeah, and you're KJ. I hear you're the one that's kept Frank here from blowing up another amp.
It was one time, Frank protests,
and Alex laughs at him. Kevin shakes his head and grins.
Yeah, well, I try,
Kevin teases Frank, before nodding at Alex. But, yeah, Hambone was showing me some things, and Ray's been helping me too. Alex nods.
Yeah, I've heard good stuff. Not just from these guys,
he gestures at Frank,
but from the Thursday guys too. They say you're good. Know your way around the guitars.
Kevin flushes at the praise, looking down in mild embarrassment, and spins his ring around his finger. He shrugs.
I'm learning. Well, do you want to learn more? We're thinking of hiring some interns from the summer.
Kevin's head snaps up, and he looks from Alex to Frank in disbelief.
Really?
He stutters.
I mean, I... Really?
Frank grins, and Alex laughs, nodding.
Well, it'd be a lot of work,
he warns.
Boring stuff. Answering phones, calling venues, passing out flyers, setting up for shows.
Alex counts off on his fingers, and Kevin nods enthusiastically.
Yes, definitely! Jamia's already got me doing some of that, and the rest...
Kevin waves his hand in frustration, tripping over his words in excitement.
He huffs out of breath. I can learn, I promise. And your parents won't have an issue with you hanging out at the office?
Alex presses, eyeing Kevin up and down, like he just realized how young Kevin is. Kevin laughs shortly, not quite able to hide the slightly bitter edge. Frank looks at him in sympathy as Kevin shrugs.
No, he shakes his head. He'll hardly miss me.
Alex studies him for a moment longer, before exchanging a glance with Frank. Frank quirks an eyebrow, shaking his head slightly, and Alex sighs.
All right,
he smiles at Kevin.
School's out the 21st, right?
He frowns suddenly.
Right?
Kevin nods.
He's been counting the days. Yep, only 10 more days. Finals and stuff.
Alex runs a hand over his face.
Christ, I'm getting old. Okay, come in on the 24th and I'll get someone to set you up. Probably Jamia.
Frank lights up and Alex glares at him.
No.
Frank pouts and Alex shakes his head.
Still no.
Frank heaves a sigh, eyeing Alex from the corner of his eye. Alex remains unmoved, and Frank groans.
Fine.
He grabs Kevin by the sleeve and drags him away from Alex.
Come on, KJ. What were you looking for? Inputs? I think Ray stole them.
Kevin stumbles as he tries to turn back and follow Frank at the same time.
Thank you!
He calls back towards Alex.
Alex laughs and waves after them. It's fine. Try and keep Iroh out of trouble.
Frank scowls back over his shoulder, tugging on Kevin to make him go faster down the hall.
Fucker! Yeah, but you love me,
Alex calls back, and Frank grins.
You wish,
Frank laughs, before he pulls Kevin around a corner and out of Alex's sight.
He lets go of Kevin's hoodie and throws his arms around Kevin's shoulders.
Awesome, KJ. You excited?
Kevin thinks about spending his days in the eyeball office, talking to bands and managers on the phone, teching the shows and not having to sneak around so he doesn't get thrown out. Kevin grins.
It's an awesome thought. Are you kidding? Hell yes!
Frank looks at him sideways.
And you're sure about the parents thing? Alex can always talk.
No. Kevin interrupts him. He shakes his head, watching the ground in front of them.
No, like I said, it'll be fine.
He avoids Frank's gaze and fiddles with the zipper on his hoodie. After a moment, Frank nods and squeezes Kevin closer.
Well then, welcome to the eyeball family, kid. You're gonna fucking love it. Mini-me!
Kevin turns in surprise as Frank runs up to the grocery cart, scooping up a giggling Frankie and making a face at him. Jamia follows at a more sedate pace, rolling her eyes at Frank with a fond grin, one arm looped through Gerard's.
Hey, KJ.
She smiles at him, and both she and Gerard give him a quick hug. She looks at the grocery cart as she pulls back.
Doing the family shopping?
Kevin shrugs, running his hand over his curls.
Something like that. Four boys, we eat a lot,
he says, with a self-deprecating grin.
Our moms are on here somewhere with Nick and Joe. Dairy aisle, I think.
Oh, yeah? Jamia asks in surprise. And even Gerard stops his perusal of the shelves to look at Kevin curiously. No matinee show?
Kevin shrugs again.
He had stopped keeping track of his brother's schedules. He had enough of a time trying to keep track of his own, between the hours in the office and all the shows Alex had him setting up and teching for. My chem always had first dibs, but they were only doing shows once or twice a week, and Eyeball had bands playing almost every night that needed a tech, especially a free one. Frank hoists Frankie up on his hip, not even wincing when he grabs one of Frank's dreads and pulls. Kevin winces for him. Frankie yanks hard.
Really? Shoot.
He modifies, shooting a glance at the toddler on his hip.
I don't think I've ever met Nick.
Well, he's, you know. Kevin waves his hand in the air.
Busy.
Frank watches Kevin in amusement.
You've been hanging out with Gerard too much, he declares. Talking with your hands.
Gerard's head snaps up and he glares half-heartedly at Frank.
I do not, you fucker.
Jamia smacks him upside the head, and Gerard glares at her, rubbing the back of his head.
Ow!
No swearing in front of the kid, she says, nodding at Frankie.
Besides, yes you do.
Frank crows his triumph, and Jamia reaches out to smack him, too.
You both do. Now stop hogging the kid.
She makes grabby hands at Frankie, and Frank holds him tighter, stepping away.
Hey, he's my mini-me. Get your own,
he says, sticking his tongue out at her.
Besides, he likes me better. Don't you, Frankie? Yes, you do, because I am awesome. All Franks are awesome, aren't we? Yes, we are.
He makes faces at Frankie, who giggles and babbles a stream of words at him, waving his hands and smacking Frank in the face. Kevin looks on in amusement, leaning against the grocery cart, as Jamia tries to pout and steal Frankie away, and Frank dodges behind Gerard to use as a shield. Gerard's a little wide-eyed, obviously not sure he really wants to be in the middle of a Jamia-Frank spat, even one as good-natured as this one. And Kevin can't help but laugh at all of them.
Kevin!
His mom's voice startles him, and Kevin loses his balance against the grocery cart, nearly falling on his ass. Only Jamia's quick reflexes keep him from crashing to the ground. Kevin smiles at her in thanks before spinning around to face his mom. His smile becomes more strained.
Yeah?
Yes, his mother corrects him, approaching the cart, eyeing Jamia, Frank, and Gerard with a wary eye. Nick and Joe follow behind her, carefully carrying a gallon of milk and a carton of eggs, respectively. Joe lights up, almost dropping the eggs as soon as he recognizes Frank. Frank, hi! Are you here to shop with us? Frank grins, stepping out fully from behind Gerard.
Hey, kid. Nope, I'm here shopping with Jamia and G. I'm just totally lucky to run into you.
Joe beams back, reaching up to put the eggs in the grocery cart before flinging himself at Frank, who manages to catch him one-handed against his leg without dropping Frankie. Kevin's a bit impressed. Joe's tackles can take down their dad sometimes. Nick follows a bit more warily, eyeing Frank, Gerard, and Jamia from behind their mom. She reaches behind her and takes the milk, placing it in the cart before reaching out for Frankie. "My son, please?" she asks, and Kevin winces because he knows that carefully polite tone. She's pissed. Frank must recognize it, too. Kevin suspects every mother has the same one, because he immediately hands over Frankie. "Of course, sorry," he responds, gently peeling Joe away from his waist, once he has both hands free. Joe doesn't protest, looking quietly between his mom and Frank as he backs up to lean against Kevin. Frank wipes one of his hands on his jeans and holds it out to her. "Frank Airo, ma'am. Nice to meet you." She eyes him, obviously judging the dreads and ripped jeans, but politeness overcomes her dislike and she shakes his hand quickly. "Yes, well." She hoists Frankie up on her hip and looks between Frank, Jamia, and Gerard, all of whom are looking uncomfortable under the scrutiny. "How do you know my boys?" Gerard and Frank exchange a glance and raised eyebrows, but Jamia smiles. "Oh, we know KJ, Kevin, from his volunteer work this summer?" Kevin lets out a breath he didn't even know he was holding as his mom relaxes minutely. Her smile becomes a bit warmer. "That's nice. It's good he's getting out of the house." Kevin mentally sighs, resisting the urge to drop his head into his hands. She has no idea. Frank obviously senses his unease, because he starts to back up, grabbing Gerard by the sleeve and dragging him with him down the aisle. "Definitely. Hate to say hi and run, but we're on a schedule, right, Jamia?" Jamia flashes a sympathetic smile at Kevin before nodding. "We really are," she says, sounding apologetic. "Nice to meet you, Mrs. Jonas." She backs up, following Frank and Gerard down the aisle. Gerard waves once before they disappear around the end. Kevin looks after them longingly, wishing he could flee with them as his mom turns to slowly stare at him, eyebrows raised. He flushes under her scrutiny and resists the urge to duck his head and apologize. He rubs his thumb over his ring, a touchstone to calm himself, and tries to breathe normally. He's not ashamed of his friends. "They seem polite," his mother says finally. "Frank's cool," Joe chimes in, pushing away from Kevin's legs and moving to dig through the cart. He looks up at Kevin and makes a face. "No cookies? Come on, Kev." The mom purses her lips, stepping to the cart and settling Frankie back into the seat in front. "And how do you know Frank, Joseph?" Joe is either oblivious to her warning tone, or a better actor than Kevin's given him credit for. He picks Kev up to go do work stuff, and he brings chocolate. "Oh!" Joe looks up from the cart and looks wide-eyed at their mom. "Can we get chocolate?" She eyes Kevin for a moment longer, but then Nick tugs on her sweater. "Yeah, Mom, can we get chocolate?" She sighs in exasperation and looks sternly at both Nick and Joe. "No." "But Mom!" Nick and Joe whine in perfect harmony, and their mom rolls her eyes, pushing the cart down the aisle and pointedly not looking at either Nick or Joe's pouting faces. "No." Nick and Joe follow behind her, still begging for chocolate cookies. Kevin breathes out a sigh of relief. He takes a moment to rub his hands over his face and shake off the tension before hunching into his hoodie and following a few steps behind his family. Demos. Mikey yawns, dropping a rubber-banded stack of manila envelopes onto the small corner table that passes as Kevin's desk. Kevin groans, reaching across the table to grab the bundle and pull off the rubber band. It snaps, and he flinches, almost hitting himself in the eye. Mikey snickers, and Kevin tries to glare at him, but it's really too early to rouse the energy. He'd been up till 3 a.m. the night before, breaking down the equipment before hitting the after-party slash Mikey Way's birthday at the Eyeball House, and it's barely 8 a.m. It's barely 8 a.m. Kevin blinks up at Mikey Way in surprise. Mikey, it's before noon. Between you and Frank, you guys drank like half the bar last night. What the hell are you doing here? Mikey rubs his eyes, nearly knocking his glasses off his face.
We're leaving tomorrow for Philadelphia. I need the money for gas.
He mumbles. He blinks at Kevin, squinting against the glare of the fluorescent lights of the office.
What, and G can't go to his shift at the bookstore?
Mikey raises an eyebrow at him, and Kevin knows him well enough to know that it's his, "Are you fucking kidding me?" eyebrow. Kevin rolls his eyes at himself. Mikey and Frank might have split half the bar at Mikey's party, but Kevin's pretty sure Gerard drank the other half by himself. Of course he's in no shape to go to a shift.
He's still asleep.
Mikey yawns again.
Besides, it's September 11th.
Mikey cuts his eyes to the ground, swaying slightly on his feet. Kevin swallows hard, then nods sharply. He'd forgotten Gerard had seen the towers fall. If Kevin had seen that, in person, not like on TV like he'd seen it at school, he'd probably be taking the day off work, too. Mikey sways again, and Kevin takes pity on him. He climbs to his feet, shuffling under the table for his Vans and shoving his feet into them. He pushes Mikey into his seat, amusement chasing away his unease, as Mikey crumbles immediately into the chair and drops his head into his hands, rubbing them over his face and into his hair, making it look like even more of a bird's nest than it already had. Kevin heads across the office to the small kitchenette and climbs up onto the counter, reaching around on top of the cabinets to grab the stash of good coffee Alex thought he had cleverly hidden up there. It only takes a few minutes for enough to brew to fill Mikey's oversized mug, and Kevin carries it back over to his desk, waving it under Mikey's nose. Mikey blinks slowly, the smell waking him up from his half-asleep state. He makes grabby hands at the mug, and Kevin hands it over. Mikey immediately takes a long sip, ignoring how hot the coffee must be, and sighs happily.
"Look, that's good,"
he mumbles, taking another long swallow.
"I'm totally keeping you."
Kevin grins. The instant way to Mikey Way's, either ways, really, heart. Being able to make really kick-ass coffee. Mikey finishes the cup in two more large swallows and makes pleading eyes at Kevin. They're not very effective, hidden behind the smudged lenses of his glasses and the fact that the rest of his expression doesn't change. But Kevin rolls his eyes and takes the mug back over to the kitchenette, pouring the rest of the pot into the mug and bringing it back to Mikey. "Don't tell Alex I made you the good coffee," he warns, leaning over Mikey to grab the pile of demos. Mikey nods, drinking more of the coffee before dropping his head to Kevin's desk and closing his eyes. Kevin snorts, but leaves him to his misery, heading into the small sound room. He's halfway through sorting the demos into three piles. Really shitty, sort of shitty, and not too bad. When Alex knocks on the door, small frown on his face. Kevin pulls off the headphones and looks up at him questioningly.
Why is Mikey way passed out at your desk?
Alex asks, amusement and confusion mixing in his tone. Kevin snickers and drops his head into his hands, shaking it ruefully. His curls fall into his eyes, and he makes another mental note to get it cut.
Because he turned 22 yesterday, and it's...
Kevin glances at his watch.
9:30 in the morning?
Alex rolls his eyes and sighs the sigh of the forever put upon.
Of course, he says. I don't suppose Frank or Jamia's been in?
Kevin shrugs.
Don't know, man. I've been in here since 8.
He waves his hand at the piles of demos.
There's actually some decent shit today.
Really? Alex looks interested and holds his hand out for the demos. Kevin hands over the not-too-bad pile, and Alex sorts through them, rolling his eyes at some of the band names.
Wonderful,
he says dryly. He pushes off the door jamb and turns to go. Finish up, and then there's some more phone messages you need to return calls for.
Okay,
Kevin responds, turning back to the few discs he has left to listen to.
Oh, and KJ?
Kevin spins back in his chair and looks up at Alex, who's looking at him in amusement.
Yeah? When you make the good coffee, make sure you put the bag back on top of the cabinets.
Kevin winces and grins at Alex.
Sorry,
he says, not sounding sorry at all. Alex shakes his head, exiting the sound room and muttering about, surrounded by fucking kids, I swear. The demos are sorted, and Kevin's halfway through returning phone calls to various tour managers and venues, when Frank stumbles into the office, looking like death warmed over. Even his dreads look hungover. He snickers at Mikey Way passed out at Kevin's desk.
He's been there for hours now, but Kevin's pretty sure Alex will pay him anyway.
And then catches sight of Kevin. Frank frowns, glances at his watch, then at the calendar on the wall, and walks over to where Kevin's sitting. Frank waits, arms crossed, until Kevin's off the phone, then looks pointedly at the clock.
It's 11:30.
Kevin gets a sinking feeling in his stomach.
It figures that Frank would be the first one to put two and two together. Alex forgets to make the connection between school and days unless it messes with his band's tour schedules, and the rest are too used to Kevin's continued presence around the office to probably really care. Frank, though, Frank would notice and say something. Kevin forces himself to smirk.
You finally learned how to tell time? Jamia must be so proud.
Smartass.
Frank doesn't laugh. Doesn't even smile, just looks more concerned.
It's a Wednesday. So?
Kevin mutters, dropping the smirk and turning back to the phone messages. He sends up a quick prayer that Frank will let it go and just leave him to do his job.
He doesn't. Shouldn't you be in school?
Frank presses, and Kevin glares briefly upwards.
Even though they've been keeping their voices down, Kevin still glances around the office, breathing a sigh of relief when he sees Alex in his office, on the phone, with the door closed.
Alex might not have made the connection between Kevin and school, but Kevin figures he'd probably care if he knew.
Shouldn't you?
Kevin snaps back. Frank's eyebrows raise in surprise, and Kevin instantly feels bad. He groans and drops his head to the table.
Oh, please, Frank, just let it go.
Shit, KJ. At least tell me you've gone since the school year started, Frank says, as he drops into the chair next to Kevin. Kevin lifts his head up enough to glare at him.
Screw you. You're not my dad, Frank. Frank doesn't flinch.
Does he know you're not at school? Kevin rolls his eyes and drops his head back to the table. It hits a little harder than he'd intended, and he winces at the sharp pain, sitting straight up and rubbing at his forehead. But you mean, does he care? He mutters. Frank continues to stare at him, not accusing or judging, simply waiting, and Kevin sighs. No, he doesn't know. At least, he hasn't said anything. And yes, I went to school on the first day, and on Monday. 2 whole days out of 6? Frank sits back in his chair and shakes his head. Awesome. Keep it up, and you'll be able to graduate in about 9 years. Oh my god. Kevin groans, running his hands over his face. Whatever. He really doesn't want to be having this conversation. He sends out another prayer for the phone to ring or for Mikey to finally wake up, but he is batting 0-for-2 in the prayer department today. KJ. Kevin, Frank says sharply, and Kevin drops his hands to meet Frank's eyes. He doesn't look happy in the slightest. Save the lecture, Frank. Please. Kevin, you can't just... Frank waves his hands in frustration. Drop out! High school's important. I mean, yeah, okay, you can suck at times, but you're completely limiting what you can do in the future if you drop out at 15. Jesus Christ. Kevin stares at him in disbelief. Are you even listening to yourself? Seriously? Who the hell are you, and what have you done with Frank? Frank groans, and he leans forward in his chair, rubbing his forehead. Oh, fuck, I am far too hungover for this shit. Look, KJ, I'm just saying... No! Kevin interrupts. Just no, okay? You're talking about my future? Look around. This? He nudges the piles of phone messages. And this? Kevin gestures to take in the whole of the eyeball office. And that shit I do backstage at the shows? That's all I want to do, Frank. He sighs and collapses back into his chair, suddenly exhausted. Just music, all of it, any of it. I'm not learning anything at high school that I can't learn 10 times better here at Eyeball. Frank rests his chin in his hands, elbows balanced on his knees, and stares at Kevin for a long moment. Kevin looks back at him steadily. It's not a spontaneous decision. He's thought about it. Been thinking about it since the spring, really. Nothing Frank says is going to change his mind, but he'd really like Frank to not be pissed at him. He's one of the few people in the world Kevin gives a damn about disappointing. Okay, Frank finally says. He sits back and rubs his hands over his jeans. Okay. Kevin sits up straighter in his chair. Okay? He repeats, wary. Frank nods. Yeah, kid. I mean, I think you're being a dumbass. High school might suck, but it's, you know, useful. But, Frank continues, looking around the office thoughtfully, and then back at Kevin. He smiles wryly. I get it. Kevin smiles back. Thanks, Frank, he says softly, gratefully. Frank snorts, standing and stretching his arms above his head before reaching out to ruffle Kevin's hair. Don't thank me, kid. Jamia's going to kill you. We're what? Kevin shouts, jaw dropping open in shock. He looks between his parents in disbelief. His mom sighs, hoisting Frankie higher on her hip. Kevin, we're going to be moving in a new direction with Nick's career. Los Angeles will be a much better fit. His dad interrupts. I've already been in some preliminary talks with some producers about putting out a solo album. He grins and claps Nick on the shoulder, who grins sheepishly down at the ground. He's going to be a star. Kevin doesn't care. Not about the contracts or the solo album. Though he's happy for his brother, he always is. The only thing he cares about is that they're leaving for California. But what about my life? I have friends here. I have a job. I have a life. Both of his parents frown. You'll make new friends in California, Kevin, his dad says. But I don't want new friends. I want to keep the friends I already have. I like it here. I don't want to leave. Kevin jumps to his feet and starts pacing. He tries to imagine living 3,000 miles away from Eyeball, all the other techs, the bands, Frank and Jamia, and his chest hurts. Kevin, I know you don't want to leave your friends, his mom begins gently, but you're barely 15. You'll start all... School! Kevin bursts out, interrupting his mother for the first time in his life. What about school? I'm in high school. You can't just make me switch and be the new kid in a whole other state. Paul Kevin. His father's expression is angry. First of all, apologize to your mother right this instant. He waits until Kevin sighs and mutters, sorry, crossing his arms over his chest. Secondly, you're only a sophomore. You'll do fine starting over at a new school. Or your mother can homeschool you with your brothers. Kevin winces at his full name and his father's expression, but pushes on. I don't want to get homeschooled. Dad! No. No more arguments. His father holds up his hand. This move will be the best thing for Nick's career and for the family. We are all going to have to make some sacrifices. Sacrifices? Kevin explodes, unable to keep himself from interrupting his dad. I'm always making sacrifices. It's always about Nick's Broadway, or the CDs, or Joe's commercials. Why can't I ever get anything? Nick and Joe look instantly stricken. And Kevin stops, hesitating and reaching out to them. No, guys, it's not... He sighs as Nick jumps to his feet and runs out of the room. Kevin jumps at the slamming of Nick and Joe's bedroom door. Joe climbs to his feet and gives Kevin a half smile. I know. I'll talk to him. He follows the younger brother out of the room, and Kevin watches him go with a helpless feeling in his chest. It's not his brother's fault. Paul Kevin Jonas, his father snaps, as soon as Joe's disappeared upstairs. Control yourself. We're moving to California as soon as possible. Probably within the next month that Nick can start recording, and that's final. The next month? They aren't even staying until the new year? No, Kevin says abruptly, crossing his arms over his chest and glaring at his parents. I'm not going. His mom sighs. Of course you are, Kevin. She tries to hush Frankie, who's squirming at all of the tension in the room. But he starts to scrunch up his face, and she gives her husband a helpless look before taking Frankie out of the room and into the kitchen. Kevin focuses his glare on his dad. I'm not leaving. It's my life, and I want to stay. You can be a sulky teenager all you want, Kevin, but this family is moving to California whether you want us to or not. His dad's tone is flat, and Kevin knows he considers the conversation over. Well, maybe I don't want to be part of this family, Kevin yells at his dad. Kevin, his dad says sharply. But Kevin barrels on, his anger and frustration growing at the exasperated look on his dad's face. You won't notice anyway. You and Mom never notice what I do, so wrapped up in Nick and Joe and their careers. You don't know what I like, what I do, who my friends are. You don't know anything. His dad tries to interrupt, and Kevin raises his voice to shout over him. I am not leaving. It's my life and my choice, and I am not leaving. You are my son, and you live in my house, his father snaps back. And you will live by my rules, which means you are moving to California, and I don't want to hear another word on that matter. Is that clear? But, Dad, no! No more buts, no more arguments. I don't know what's gotten into you this past year or who you've been hanging out with,
but if this is what it's done to you, raising your voice to your parents and being disrespectful, then it's a good thing we're leaving.
Kevin's eyes narrow and he takes a step forward.
Dad!
And his dad's hand flies out and smacks Kevin across the face. Kevin falls silent in shock, fingers on his jaw. It doesn't hurt. He's gotten worse in a mosh pit or just wrestling with Dan or Justin. But he's stunned. His dad looks contrite. He takes a deep breath, steadying himself.
Go to your room, he says flatly. This conversation is over.
Kevin flees to his room, ignoring his mother's soft, "Kevin," as he passes the kitchen and slams his door shut. He breathes hard for a moment, before lashing out in frustration and kicking over his desk chair. His laundry and book bags spill onto the floor, and Kevin ignores them as he throws himself on his bed and screams into his pillow. He lays there for a long time, alternating staring at the ceiling and venting his frustration into his pillow. He can hear the tinny sounds of the Nintendo through the wall of Nick and Joe's room, and he feels a pang of regret at upsetting Nick. Eventually, he hears his mom come up the stairs and tell Nick and Joe to get into bed. He listens to their muffled groans and the rustling sounds of their nighttime routine and smiles sadly. They'll probably love California. Nick will make an awesome CD. Kevin watches the shadow of his mom hesitating outside his door and holds his breath. He sighs sadly as she moves on without checking on him. The house gets quieter, his parents heading to their room, and Kevin watches the glowing numbers on his alarm clock click later and later. When it clicks past 1 a.m., Kevin climbs to his feet and flicks his light on. He digs in his closet for his duffel bag and shoves in as much clean laundry as he can. Jeans, hoodies, boxers, t-shirts, anything he can find in the drawers and in his closet that will fit. He throws in another pair of chucks and has to sit on the bag to get it to zipper shut. Breathing hard, he looks around his room. He doesn't need his school stuff or any of his books. His eyes land on his desk and he drags the bottom drawer open, pulling out the folder of all his papers that his dad had given him when he'd started high school. Kevin shoves the folder into his guitar case, along with the envelope full of cash he's earned from Eyeball. Shouldering his bag and grabbing the guitar, Kevin eases his bedroom door open. Long practice sneaking in proves useful at sneaking out. And in moments, Kevin's outside, trying to fit his duffel over the top of his guitar on his back. It takes a few minutes, but Kevin finally manages to get both balanced. He looks back up at the house, chest tight, and is focused on the dark window of Nick and Joe's room. He wishes he could have woken them up, said goodbye. But he knows he'd never be able to leave if faced with Nick's puppy eyes. Kevin takes a deep breath, committing the house to memory, while pushing off on his bike and riding away. He leaves his house key in the mailbox. Mikey stands in the doorway to the sound room, arms crossed over his chest. Kevin finishes listening to the last demo of the day before pulling off the headphones. He drops the CD into the sort of shitty pile and looks up at Mikey. Yeah? You have a duffel bag under your desk, Mikey comments mildly. Kevin shrugs. I was thinking of going to the gym after work, he lies easily. Mikey's expression doesn't change. You haven't left the office in days, he continues, and your cell phone is shut off. Kevin winces. His phone had gotten shut off the second day after he'd left home, after he'd ignored it every single time it had rung showing the house number. His dad's trying to make a point, he knows, but he doesn't care. He can get by without a phone, he thinks. Your guitar is sitting in the closet, and your bike is chained up inside instead of out. You're hiding from someone. Mikey raises an eyebrow at Kevin, almost daring him to try and argue. Kevin sighs. Of all the times for Mikey to prove that he's observant. So? Mikey nods, like Kevin's confirmed everything. FBI? Kevin blinks, thrown. What? The FBI. They can be pretty harsh. You hiding out? Mikey clarifies, looking vaguely interested. Kevin's jaw drops a little. What the hell?
I'm 15,
he points out hesitantly. Mikey shrugs.
That doesn't stop them,
he says knowingly. And Kevin stares at him in disbelief. Mikey waves him off. So, parents then. You run away? Still thrown by Mikey's tangent, Kevin sighs and shrugs.
Yeah,
he mutters. I wanted to move to California, he spits. Mikey wrinkles his nose.
That sucks, he says. So you're gonna live in the office?
Well, I... Honestly, he hadn't really thought that far ahead.
Yes?
Mikey rolls his eyes a bit.
Right,
he says flatly, and disappears out of the doorway. Kevin blinks in surprise, and then jumps to his feet and follows Mikey out of the room.
What are you...
He breaks off, seeing Mikey push open the door to Alex's office without knocking. Kevin hurries to follow him. Mikey! Alex looks up from his computer in question at Mikey.
Yeah?
We're taking Kevin on tour with us with Under Oath, Mikey informs Alex. Alex frowns a bit, looking around Mikey to stare at Kevin.
Don't you have school?
Kevin shrugs noncommittally, dropping his eyes to examine the scuffed toe of his Converse, and doesn't even hesitate to lie.
My mom started homeschooling me with my brothers.
He looks up from under his eyelashes at Alex, in time to see him roll his eyes and shrug.
Make sure to feed him,
Alex tells Mikey, before turning back to his computer. Mikey nods, satisfied, and turns to walk out of the office, grabbing Kevin by his sleeve and dragging him along behind him. He pushes Kevin toward his desk.
Get your bag and your guitar. You can come stay with G and I till we leave.
Still in a slight state of shock, Kevin grabs his bag without argument. He hesitates at the closet door, turning back to Mikey.
You and G?
He asks warily. Mikey raises an eyebrow at him, reaching up to push his hair out of his eyes.
You want to stay with Jamia?
Kevin's eyes widen, and he quickly shakes his head. Mikey smirks.
Didn't think so.
He turns and gestures at Kevin to follow him. Come on, Mom and Elena are going to love feeding you.
Elena?
Kevin asks, grabbing his guitar and making his way to the door, duffel bag bumping against his knee with every step.
Our grandma,
Mikey explains, eyeing both Kevin's bag and guitar, but making no offer to grab either. He does hold the office door open, though. Our grandparents live with us.
Oh, cool,
Kevin replies slowly. And Mikey nods, digging in his pocket for his keys. Kevin stops a few steps from the car, watching Mikey open up the back. Mikey, he starts, hesitating when Mikey turns to stare flatly at him.
You don't have to...
Mikey rolls his eyes. Get in the fucking car, KJ, he says, walking to the driver's seat. Kevin waits a second later, before huffing a sigh and dumping his bag into the back of Mikey's car. The guitar goes in a bit more gently, and Kevin slams the trunk shut. He climbs into the front seat, where Mikey is busy shuffling through CDs, Pops one into the Discman stuck to the dashboard, shoving the converter into the tape deck. There's a bit of static, and the Sex Pistols start playing. "Thanks," Kevin says softly, so quiet he can barely hear himself over the music. Ike smiles a little and backs out of his parking space. The end.